In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we celebrate the Sunday of All Saints, the end of the Pentecostarian. Tomorrow we will begin the Apostles' Fast. Why is it that we celebrate All Saints today? Well, we celebrated Pentecost last week. Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, we are enlightened, we're taught, we are enabled to live the Christian life, to become perfected. So, isn't it apropos that we celebrate all the saints, because it is not possible to become close to God without the Holy Spirit enlivening us. Now also, in a way, this is like a synaxis of the entire church. Now in the various feast days of the church, like on Nativity, we have the synaxis of the Theotokos the next day. She was very much involved, obviously, in the Nativity of our Lord, right? In the baptism of our Lord, the synaxis of St. John the Baptist the next day. Well, who's involved in the Holy Spirit coming to the world? All of us. Because all of us have received the Holy Spirit. Now, only those who struggle, who live with their priorities set on being a Christian, only those people will indeed become holy. But all of us have received the Holy Spirit. It is always good when we read the Scriptures to take stock of ourselves. The Scriptures tell us things that are historically factual, but that's of secondary importance. What's really important is the inner meaning of what the Lord says to us, or what is said in the epistles or the Old Testament or whatever we read. If we read today the Gospel, we can see the way of life and the way of death. And the Lord spells it out for us very clearly, very easy to see for those who have eyes to see. Why is it that we're alive? Well, for eternal life, to know Christ. The Lord puts it in one way, to inherit a hundredfold, to receive a hundredfold, and to inherit and receive everlasting life. That's the purpose of our life, nothing else. To know Jesus Christ, to know God the Father, the Holy Spirit. Now, who will help us in this task? Of course, Jesus Christ, as Paul says, the author and finisher of our faith. The beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. Jesus Christ makes us capable. Jesus Christ lived life as a man that we are meant to live, that we are meant to become, and made our flesh capable of living like that. So he lived not only as an example, but he actually fulfilled, completed humanity, made us capable of eternal life. And of course, he sent the Holy Spirit to us to continually remind us, sometimes to chastise us, but always to help us and comfort us. All right? So we know why we are alive. Or we should. And we should not pass over this question lightly, because I tell you, most people don't know the answer to this question. Most people who are Orthodox Christians do not know the answer to this question. Why are we alive? They might be able to say words like I've said, especially if they've heard me say it 1,000 times. But most of the time, even all of us, don't know the answer to this question, because we don't live like we know the answer. We live in the here and now. We live in the moment. We live according to our desires. Sometimes they might be desires that seem to be good, but the Lord shows us how we should really live. He makes a comparison for us, words that are very difficult for some people because they don't understand them. He loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What does this mean? Well, in another place he says you must hate, right? Your mother, your father, in comparison to loving him. Well, what this means is above all else, we should love Christ. We should love his way. Now, to say we love someone means that we know them. We have entered into their life. We understand how they think. And it is beautiful to us. It's something that we love to know about. To love Christ is to become like Him. That's why He spent so much time teaching, giving examples. They wanted to kill Him within the first couple months of His public ministry, but He wouldn't allow it because He needed to show us examples of how to live so that we can become like Him. We can be humble like Him. We can submit to our Father as He submitted to His Father. We can love God above all else as He loved His Father above all else. He is our example. And of course, the saints are example upon example. They followed the path that Christ started for us. How to live as a human being in the world. And now that path is well trodden. And it's easy to see. And the saints show us the way. So we must love God above all things. To love is to know. To know we must become like. So in order to love God, we must struggle to become like Him. Now what are some things that Jesus Christ did? Well, He took up His cross, didn't He? So He tells us that we must take up our cross. He says, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." If we do not struggle to take up our cross, we're not worthy of Christ. What can make us worthy of Christ? Well, take that sentence in the opposite sense. If we take up our cross, then Christ says we are worthy. And He also says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father." This is how we're made worthy, to confess, to take up the cross. What does it mean to confess? Confess and take up the cross are the same. That is, to live as Christ lived, to show ourselves as an example to others. Yeah, you're called to do that. You're called to be an example to other people of what the Christian life is all about. Taking up the cross is having the right priorities, the priorities Christ had. From the moment He was born, He had His face set to Jerusalem. Now, of course, His task was much higher than ours will be. He knew that He was born to die for all men. We're not born to die for all men, but we are born to die to our own passions, our own lusts, our own desires, so that the Lord would be able to, or of course He's able, but the Lord will only fill us if we take out of ourselves things that are not compatible with Him. Selfishness, thinking of ourselves, living in a carnal way. Taking up our cross means to struggle against these things. Now, the Lord, when He took up His cross, He stumbled, didn't He? Someone had to carry it for Him for a while. The Lord carries our cross as well. It doesn't say here, "He who carries the cross flawlessly will be saved." It says, "You take up the cross." The Lord knows that you're going to stumble many, many times. I've told you before something that seems fantastic to many. Perhaps even seems wrong to many. I tell you, don't be afraid of sin. Don't be afraid of it. Be afraid of not repenting. That's what you should be afraid of. Be afraid that in growing accustomed to sin, you no longer try to stop. You no longer think it a sin. You make excuses for it. And it lulls you to sleep. That's what you should be afraid of. Don't be afraid of sin itself. Sin can't kill you. What can kill you is not confessing Christ. What can kill you is not being willing to struggle, the small struggle that He asks us to have. Why is it that we have to struggle? Well, it comes down to knowing Christ. You can't know Him unless you enter into His life. His life was a life of struggle, self-denial, love for his Father, submission to him. If we are to understand he who is above all things and is beautiful beyond all beauty, then we must enter into his life. That's why we must struggle. That's why we must enter into a life of self-denial. Now, there's many things in life that you end up doing or having done to you regardless of whether you want it or not. That's why we must, if we are truly to inherit the kingdom of heaven, if we're truly to be called worthy of Christ, attempt to deny ourselves voluntarily. That's what fasting is, voluntary self-denial. But there are many other ways you can deny yourself. When someone speaks evilly of you, to not recover.